Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org. Or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Well, hello, Buckhead Church, and anyone who's listening, we're so glad you're with us. My name's Clay. I am here today with Bo Johnson. Bo, how are you?
I'm doing well, Clay. Thank you.
Do you get tired of people? Confession. I feel like people, that is a common thing. I mean, people ask that in all times in life. Hey, how are you doing? But they're asking it more now. And I keep telling myself, stop asking that because it's too general. Well, ask something more specific.
You did this to me the other day. I thought it was really intentional. You said, how are you doing today? Which felt a lot more.
I learned that. That's more specific. I learned it from, we did an interview with Sheryl Sandberg in a series on resilience about a year ago. And she made that point about grief, that grief is so different depending on the day, mm-hmm. that it's better to ask someone, how are you doing today? But I think that maybe that's applicable in crisis as well. So let me back up. Let me start it over again. How are you doing today, Bo?
Today, I am doing well. I'm excited to have this conversation.
Me too. We are going to roll out four different learnings that we've had during COVID, primarily about leading teams, leading an organization. I think it's applicable to anybody, though. If you're a stay-at-home parent and you're trying to figure out how to lead your family at home, or if you are on a team at work, or if you're leading a classroom, I think this is applicable no matter what. Bo, you're writing a dissertation right now for a doctorate in ministry.
I am. Yes.
You know, and you never talk about it, which I think is really remarkable, but you want to tell everybody a little bit about your dissertation?
Well, I, like probably most dissertation writers, changed that topic a bunch of times, but last fall, I landed on the topic of how to lead change in large organizations.
And how to lead change in large organizations.
So I've just been, you know, of course, immersed in literature and best practice and research about leading change. And then, you know, mid-March, we all had this thing hit us that required us to change. And so it's been fascinating to watch what I've been learning and see how it applies in this season where, again, ready or not, here comes a change.
Bo and I work really closely together at Buckhead Church with a few other leaders lead our particular location, our particular church, as a part of this larger conglomeration mm-hmm. of churches in the Atlanta area. But I love that topic, and I thought it was very relevant for this conversation around crisis and how we're all managing change. So let's just dive in, and let me just also, this is a disclaimer up front. Neither Bo nor myself, this actually sounds like a disclaimer on an infomercial, neither of us claim to be leadership experts, mm-hmm. but I love what we've learned from Andy Stanley, who does such a great job of being an expert yet maintaining such great humility. But he always tells us on our staff, hey, our job is not to fill someone else's cup. We can't do that, but we have a responsibility to empty our cup. And so this is it. This is emptying our cup. We looked in our cup and we found out that there are four things, and we said we have to get those out. Only four things.
Yeah, we can empty our whole cup in 20 minutes. It's remarkable.
That's right. Maybe 15. Let's see how it goes. Well, let's jump in, Bo. So this, we're about 9 weeks in to this COVID crisis. We don't have all the answers, but we certainly want to share what we've learned. And there's four things that we have really tried to focus on specifically that we've learned. How do you want to start it?
Well, I guess I'd just start by saying most leaders are dissatisfied with the status quo. And most leaders have something that they want to change. And to your point, Clay, maybe it's something you want to change in a classroom, or you want to change at home, or something you want to change in your business or the nonprofit that you lead. And the greatest hurdles to change The biggest one is urgency. How do you create enough urgency to get people to want to move without creating so much urgency that people panic and freeze? And that is such an art, and there is so much written about it. And then here 9 weeks ago, every leader was handed a new sense of urgency. And again, whether you're leading it at home or you're operating a car wash or managing a hospital, there was a new sense of urgency. And so we stumbled into that and started just trying to do probably what everybody was doing of trying to figure out how to survive, and really stumbled into four principles that, you know, hopefully any of our volunteers or staff that are listening, they sound at least familiar because we're not doing them perfectly, but we're trying to lean into four disciplines to help us be able to navigate this new normal. The first of which, can I just dive in?
Jump in.
The first of which is listening. And I love this quote by Jim Collins. He says, "The common cold of leadership is poor listening."
And gosh, that is such a great quote. The common cold of leadership is poor listening, meaning it's so prevalent. Everybody gets it. You see it everywhere. Comes around a couple times a year.
Yep. When we've all experienced it from our leaders, haven't we?
For sure. It doesn't feel debilitating. It's not going to kill you probably, but it's definitely going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm. There's this funny misnomer that to be a leader, of course, is to be the one that has all the answers. To be the leader is the one that has the vision. And you even see this in books or in inspirational talks of you need to go get alone and get a vision for your company and your organization. And Clay, I know we looked at each other, you know, late March, and we didn't know what to do. I mean, you didn't come with a 5-bullet-point plan of here's what we need to do. And we just thought, maybe we could actually, instead of creating a vision, we could discover a vision by listening to the people around us.
Yeah, we've done that a few different ways. Again, we've got a long way to go, but we first started asking some people that go to Buckhead Church who are experts on leading organizations. So we had a few of them come to our staff meetings or our directional team meetings and just said, hey, tell us what you've learned about leading through crisis. I mean, this is definitely the biggest crisis I've been through. But, you know, when you talk to someone like, you know, a Dave Ramsey type, who was on our Buckhead Church podcast a couple of weeks ago, you know, as Dave mentioned, he's been through a number of these. I mean, he's been through the dot-com bust. He's been through 9/11 and what happened after that, the Great Recession in 2008, 2009. So, you know, there's so many people that have been ahead, that have been, you know, none of us have been through a global pandemic quite like this, but there are a lot of people that have been through crisis. The second thing we did was really try to survey the people of Buckhead Church. Cheryl Batchelder, who used to run Popeyes, she told us this at our staff meeting. She said, the answers to all of the questions that you're looking for are not in your leadership team rooms. They are inside the hearts and the minds of the people that you are serving.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so convicting and so helpful.
It is so helpful and a little bit encouraging because we know the answers aren't between our ears.
Right.
I mean, we looked. And so just to know, oh, there's other great people who have ideas out there. And Clay, we want to tell a great story through Buckhead Church. Yeah. Every person listening wants to tell a great story. And I've been so encouraged to know, you know what? Stories are usually heard before they're told. And it's okay for me to go hear and listen. There, I don't have any pride of authorship. I can just have pride of execution to say, what we're willing to do is go discover what somebody else is feeling and experiencing. And then what leadership does is help orchestrate it. Help be able to put it into play.
I love in the notes that you sent me, you wrote this phrase down that people need to be bought into the tension before their help own the solution. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, this is part of what buy-in does for people, but we need to give people space to be able to name what tensions they're feeling. Neither you or I like that because we want to solve problems. We want tensions to go away. But there's something about people being able to give words and be able to articulate the feelings that they're experiencing and create space for that, that then they're going to be so much more bought into being part of that solution. So
as you, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to, but as you think through the current dilemma that we're in right now, which full disclosure, our biggest challenge right now is trying to figure out when do we open the building mm-hmm. back up again to have physical gatherings? What are some of the tensions that we're finding out or maybe that have surprised you or that maybe you didn't realize were so such big deals to people as we begin to listen?
Yeah, the challenge of listening is that you're going to hear responses across the entire spectrum. You know, you don't, and that's honestly a gift that you're reaching people that are not just in one, you know, political camp or in one part of the spectrum in terms of their concerns for health. We're grateful that we lead and get to be part of a diverse church, and that means diversity across lots of different areas. So listening and letting people speak their voice means you're not going to be able to satisfy everybody's opinion or decision, which actually speaks to the second thing that we've learned, which I'll speak about in a minute. But to lead isn't necessarily to build consensus. The goal isn't to try to get everybody nodding in the same direction. The goal is to help us have clarity of where we move forward. And honestly, the best way to get consensus is to start with listening. It's to start by letting people know that you're with them, that you hear them, that you value them. I feel like, in particular, you do a really good job of that.
Well, thanks. Any ideas or any thoughts on some of those things that have surprised you from people?
Oh, in terms of what people have said? You know, I think what I've been surprised by is where creativity has come from. And we, you know, you mentioned this survey, but also I'll just be on the phone with a parent and they'll say some new idea that I'll think, oh my goodness, I would have never thought of that. We got to be on a phone call with somebody from the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, their organizations are pretty different than what we do at a church. And yet some of the things they shared were so remarkably fresh and new. And I was talking to a homeschool mom a couple weeks ago, and she had ideas about when we reopen the building, how we could be supportive to parents that I would have never come up with. So it's not surprising that there's new ideas we would have never thought of, but I guess I'm humbled to say how surprised I have been.
That's awesome. The second big idea that we have learned, the first one is to listen really, really well, really deeply. The second one is to clarify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to clarify.
Clarify.
Yeah, here's the challenge with clarifying is that clarity always excludes. The word decide actually comes from the Latin word to cut, to sever. And so whenever you listen, you're going to get a wide spectrum of ideas, and then you have to clarify. There's an author, Ronald Heifetz, and he has this great line. I actually was reading it last night. He says that leaders know just that because somebody is heard doesn't mean that they have to be heeded. And Clay, that's why most of us don't want to listen, is because we know by listening, we're going to likely exclude somebody's perspective or somebody's ideas. But we've been put in the seats we're in to be able to step up and clarify, here's where we're going and here's our plan. And so one way that we did that is we just clarified for our staff, hey, we're creating these three task forces to help us be able to move forward. Do you want to talk about those for a minute? Now I'm putting
you
on the spot.
I think we learned this from another for-profit business that we had heard that they were using this simple framework of creating a cross-functional team to respond immediately mm-hmm. to this crisis. And so we did that, and we have the people that help figure all of our benevolence stuff out. How do we make sure that we're taking care of people really well, serving people that have hit a bump in the road? The person that runs all of our Intersect partnerships, Anjanette Paul, is on this team because she's responsible for serving our Intersect partners, our community partners, that nonprofits in the community that are doing great work. And then we just asked some people in our church to be a part of this as well, but people that are representative of different business sectors or different other different aspects of our of our community to make sure that we're responding immediately and generously to the needs of people. The second team is a team of people that are, in a sense, operation. They're creating the operations for this new way of living or working. This is the team of people that's trying to document and make sure that everyone knows, hey, when we don't have access to a building, here's how we inspire people to follow Jesus. Because we've said this over and over again, a lot has changed in the world, but our mission is still just as important as it's ever been, that we still want to inspire people to follow Jesus. That's what we were doing pre-COVID. It's what we're doing during COVID. It's what we'll do post-COVID. But while we don't have access to a building, that's going to look different. And so how do we meet in groups? How do we make sure that we are delivering excellent and helpful content to people? How do we make sure that the tone and the way we're speaking and the way we're communicating is embodying what people are really dealing with, and that it's reflecting all different kinds of emotions in our church right now? And then the third team is a team that's focused on reentry. How do we get back into a normal way of life? That's probably the most complex because there's so much uncertainty in the future. We still don't have a line of sight on when we're going to be able to meet, as far as what the CDC is going to recommend and what the government officials are going to be able to recommend and what the school system is going to be able to do. But we have a team that's focused on putting that plan together again to, in a sense, relaunch our church. Mm-hmm. So those, that's how we clarified for our own organization, hey, here's what's most important right now for our church.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And what I love about those teams is, like you said, they're cross-functional, which is giving more voice to more people. And though everybody, what we've said is these groups are not representative. We don't have somebody from every team on them. Now, the goal isn't to make sure everybody's represented. The goal is to be able to give those teams permission to be able to move quickly. And so that's kind of our operating plan right now. So we listen. We try to clarify. And then
number three.
Yeah, the third thing that is so important is that people have a role, that we give people a role to play. Think about it this way, that people are self-motivated. They're going to you know, have their own internal engine when they know two things, that they're playing a significant role in a compelling story. So, Clay, to your point, we're still trying to inspire people to follow Jesus. And almost everybody's job description has changed. Almost everybody's role has changed a little bit in the last 9 weeks. And so what we're trying to do is make sure that people have clarity about what role they are playing right now.
And that's huge. You know, that if I can take just one little moment and apply this or attempt to apply this, if you are, hopefully this will be a reminder, or maybe even an encouragement for something you've already done if you're running a business. But if you're a stay-at-home parent and you're trying to figure out how to run your home really well during this season, I think it's really important to look at the roles that we're giving our kids to play. Do they know, hey, you know, here's what's expected of you in this season? We've tried to do that through over-communicating, even in our family with our kids. And so some of the, you know, we do a meeting at the beginning of the week, you know, to kick off the school week. We do around the dinner table, we try to do it a bit of a debrief. Obviously, we don't call it that with kids, but that's what my wife and I are trying to do is, hey, you had a role to play today. How did it go playing the role that you were in? Mm-hmm. And I love that simple little reminder that we need to listen really well, clarify, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it. And then we need to give everyone a role.
Yep. And what comes along with that role is the fourth thing that we're learning is to give people a scoreboard. And, you know, if you don't know what your target is, you're not likely to hit it. But somebody, we need a number. I think scoreboards more often than not need to be an actual number of, here's how you know that you're winning at your job. Here's how you know that you came to work and what you did mattered today. And in the world of nonprofits, that feels maybe odd, is to measure something, but even for your kids at home or for people, whether you're working in a soup kitchen or a real estate office or government work or whatever it is, people want to know that they're winning. And the whole landscape of work has changed. And so let's help them know at the end of the day, what I did today made a difference.
You can't move what you don't measure.
Mm-hmm.
And so using this season as maybe a time to sharpen what you're measuring would mm-hmm. be really valuable. But in some cases, and definitely in some areas of our church, we've had to create new measurements. We've had to redefine what we're measuring because so much of what we used to measure was around physical attendance. And mm-hmm. if we're going to measure physical attendance in this season, we're going to feel like complete and utter failures because we get a big fat goose egg. Mm-hmm. So we've had to redefine, okay, what is the goal for this team? How are we going to measure it? And then let's give them the role to play so that they can try to figure out how to move that number, how to grow that number.
Yep.
And it, you know, then our job as leaders is to make sure that people really understand the heart behind that, that we're not, this is not us trying to be cold and data driven. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to honor the fact that every number really is representative of a person. And the better it's really great stewardship, I think, to figure out what it is that we're trying to do and how are we measuring it and how are we going to know whether or not we're successful.
You know, what we have found is when you give somebody the number, hey, here's the target on the wall. And then you get out of their way, you get way more creativity about how they're actually going to reach that number. Now, I say that because when you hear us say, you got to give people a role, we want to give people a scoreboard, you might think, well, so am I micromanaging them? I'm telling them exactly what to do. No, you think like a coach, you don't think like a director. You're not handing them a script, but you are handing them a playbook. And then what you find is teams go out there and they want to make a difference. And you've told them how to make a difference and to have a significant role and a compelling story. And they come up with the most creative ways to be able to reach that goal.
I love that. So if I can summarize, this is what we're learning. We're learning that we've got to listen really, really well, that we've got to clarify what we're doing again, that we need to make sure that everyone has a role to play and that everyone has a way that we're measuring, a way that they're being measured, and that they know what the goal is, where the end zone is, what the scoreboard really is. Hey, Bo, if you're going to wrap this up, anything encouraging, anything hopeful or inspirational as people are thinking through how to process some of this?
Well, I don't know if this is that inspirational, but I'll tell you that choosing to do these four things is like choosing to get on a bike. And the minute you step on that bicycle, it's wobbly. And so listening creates some wobble because you learn things that weren't working that you thought were working. Providing clarity, yep, it creates a little bit of wobble because you're going to exclude people. Telling people that they have a scoreboard creates wobble because you figure out, oh, I might have had the wrong one, or it creates some questions from people. But in the same way, it creates some wobble. You don't get moving unless you get on the bike. And so don't worry about having to get it perfect. Get on, get moving. Yep, it's going to be a bumpy road, but that's why we're there to lead, to be able to help people be able to win, to be able to help people have a meaningful contribution to something really, really significant. And I'll just say one more thing, Clay, which is this has stretched me in my leadership. Of course, probably like so many other people, more than any other season. And I'm so confident that this is making us the kinds of leaders that the world is going to need on the other side. And so if it's challenging, if it feels like it's stretching, it's stretching in a good way, and we're going to come out on the other side, I believe, stronger as leaders because of it.
And I really think part of our the way we honor God, the way we honor each other, the way we honor what He's given us is to manage it really well, is to steward it really well. And so God has given us this opportunity, and I love this series that we're in the middle of now called Better For It, and my hope is that we would get on the other side of this mm-hmm. and go, wow, we learned, we grew. We really became better because of this really difficult season that we went through. Bo, thanks for your leadership. Thanks for your voice. Thanks for ideas. Go. Hope you can get that dissertation done.
Me too.
I bet you too.
Thanks, Clay. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.